You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
Hello, good afternoon, and welcome. I'm not ready to another stellar edition of The Drive, brought to you by Fox Sports Knoxville. Oh my goodness, Overreaction Monday, presented by the Phone Exchange. Good to be with you. Baron Brandon with me here as well. Rick Butler is somewhere. Did he already leave to go do the thing?
Yeah.
I believe so.
All right.
Well, I mean, what do you expect? It's Rick.
We'll see. I mean, I'm glad he's back. I'm glad he's back. My executive assistant.
Is that how, I mean, is that, are you taking Rick completely?
Love that little guy.
Well, that's fine.
Gets it done, man.
Me and Brandon were working hard off the clock this weekend.
He gets it done. Yeah, I heard about that. Overreaction Monday presented by the Phone Exchange. A lot to get to, ladies and gentlemen. So let's jump right into it. If I can find my show notes, I'm telling you, just a little discombobulated here off the stop.
It's Gator Week. You need to get it together.
Probably not going to get a ton of reaction to the UTEP game, and that's okay. It's to be expected. It is Florida Week, and it is a game Tennessee can win. It is, of course, a game Tennessee needs to win. Not to overstate it, but beat the Gators. You have a chance to have a relatively successful season. Lose to Florida, and you'll be struggling to qualify for a bowl game. Apathy may set in, and, well, we might just go ahead and start looking forward to basketball season. But I do want to get I do want to start with a quick look back at the game against UTEP. And Friday on the show, I began by listing five things I wanted to see from the Vols against UTEP. So let's review real quickly. The five things I wanted were, one, a fast start. Two, dominant offensive line play / running game. Three, improved and enhanced pass rush by Tennessee's front seven. Four, Ty Chandler to emerge and assert himself offensively. And then five, I wanted to see Garantano for three quarters. I wanted to see him get the full three quarters, no matter what happened in the game. And if you want to go ahead and play Keller Crist in the fourth quarter, then by all means, get him some reps. But I wanted to see Jarrett Garantano run the show and get a chance to do all those things. So, hey, three out of five ain't bad, I suppose. Well,
are we going to say three out of five? I thought you got an offer out of it.
Oh, no. No. The middle three they got. We did not get the fast start, and I thought they screwed around with Garantano too much. I would have liked to see him run. But the middle three they did. I mean,
the middle three again.
Dominant offensive line play, running game.
What?
Enhanced pass rush, and Ty Chandler assert himself.
The first one, dominant offensive line play. You're out of your mind.
Am I? You told me Friday that the stats don't lie. I said Friday on the show I wanted to see at least 200 yards rushing. We finished with 345 yards. I would say
UTEP.
Objective accomplished. I know. I knew that Friday when I said I wanted 200. We got 345 rushing yards. I'm not going to complain. Listen, I know Drew Richmond is struggling at right tackle.
Struggling?
I know our left guard weighs about 205 pounds soaking wet. I'm aware of these things, but we – again, this is relative.
Honest to God, I think you could take the lightweight kid. What is that, Jameer? Jameer Johnson. I think you could take him and bowl in the ring. That's how lightweight that kid is.
Brandon, will you break the tie here? Did we satisfy my requirements for a dominant offensive line / running game?
I guess yes. I mean, I still don't think the offensive line looked dominant. They look better, but I still wouldn't say dominant.
Here's the thing. We dominated those guys. Will the effort we showed Saturday dominate Florida or anybody else in the SEC? No, probably not. Yes, it's UTEP. They suck. I get that. But after seeing what we saw the offensive line the first two, like if you haven't drastically lowered your expectations, you 10-2ers out there, you folks who were telling us we were going to go 9-3, 8-4 during the preseason, if you haven't readjusted those expectations, I don't know what to tell you because you're going to be really disappointed at the end of October. So, again, for me, relatively, I'll give them that. The pass rush, again, are we just in their face every time? Well, they had 65 yards passing or whatever it was, man. We did have a couple of sacks, a bunch of TFLs. Like, it was better. Was it dominant? No, but it was better. And certainly Ty Chandler has asserted himself as, in my opinion, Tennessee's best offensive weapon.
Well, yeah, he's one of the guys to me that stands out. Like, he's one of the few that stand out that I could have seen him being able to hold his own on some of the old Tennessee teams as far as getting playing time.
Yeah, I mean, he's a talented running back, and we need to – I feel like he's got to be a focal point of the game against Florida. We've got to get him as many touches as his body can handle. We've got to get him the ball 20, 25 times to have a chance to win. And, you know, not just running the ball, but he can catch it. We might need to look at putting him back there on kick returns, you know, just find creative ways to get Ty Chandler involved. He is our most explosive guy with the ball. When he took off on the long touchdown run, I'm having trouble getting – because he was – what number was he last year? He was number two, right? Or like, and he switched before the – he was four in the preseason, and then he switched again to number eight. And now, so I'm getting him 8 and 9 mixed up, Jordan. I see that toss sweep, and I'm like, whoa, Tim Jordan's a lot faster than I thought he was. And then I realize, oh, wait, it's Chandler. Oh, it's still cool to have a player that fast, but, you know, so it's kind of like mixed emotions on that play. We got, if you're looking for a bright spot on this team, we've got, in my opinion, four running backs that can play. London is probably the most consistent out of all of them as far as just falling forward and banging out 9 or 10 yard runs.
I mean, that's why they brought him in. I mean, he's the old man of the group.
I mean, yeah. And
he ran a lot of – he didn't have a lot of numbers, but he ran the ball a lot for Michigan State, and that's what he did for them, 3 and 4 yards when they really needed it.
So that's a bright spot. I think Garantano's playing really well, man. I do not get – where some of you are coming off saying that Keller Chris needs to play more. I find that to be just an absurd position. Defensively, like, we held them down, and, you know, I think they had 9 possessions in the game. They had 9 punts. That's a terrible offensive team. So I don't know, are we fired up that our guys are – the nuances of Jeremy Pruitt's system are beginning to soak in. We're beginning to figure out who our guys are. Like, we're figuring things out offensively. Or do we just say, we played UTEP and ETSU the week before. The one time we played a decent team, we got torched. I don't know. Probably somewhere in between. Probably somewhere in between. We're still young. We still lack talent on the edge, I believe, pass rushing. But I do think they're getting better. I think they're learning the system. Kevin Scherer at the Quarterbacks Club today said he had an interesting comment. He said that he feels like guys are getting they're receptive to the coaching, but he feels like in year one, it usually takes till the midpoint of the season for guys to learn what to do and how to do it without being told, without having the coaches having to stand over and hold their hands. Now, that is doesn't do a lot for us now in a ball game we all want to win. But, hey, Florida's going through the coaching change too. So they're dealing with the exact same thing in terms of learning a new system.
I mean, let's not act like they've looked much better than us this year. I mean, they haven't.
Not much.
The numbers are very similar.
Not much.
Between the two teams.
I watched their game against Colorado State last night. I didn't get to watch it Saturday. I saw on Twitter, everybody's like freaking out, like, oh, man, Florida's screwing around with Colorado State. Now, I didn't watch the second half when Colorado State scored all their points, but Florida came out there and blew the doors off them in the first half. It was 26-0 in the half and could have been a lot worse. I don't know. Line opens up -6. It's down to -4. That's probably where I felt it would be, should be, -3, -4 for the Gators. But, that's not a big line. And this is a game that Tennessee certainly can win, in my opinion. All right, here's the deal. Overreaction Monday brought to you by the Phone Exchange. It's about y'all, wall-to-wall y'all. I realize the sports radio industry moving away from guests and stuff, and it's all about the host yucking it up in studio. And that's fine, man. Listen, we got all week to give you our opinion, and we'll work in our opinion today. But we want to hear from you. This is about phone calls. This is about the Phone Exchange. Go ahead and take a shot now. If you've got thoughts on the UTEP game, or if you just want to go ahead and turn the page and go all in on Florida, let's go ahead and light them up here. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show this afternoon. 546-8200. We want to hear from you. Let's light these phone lines up here this afternoon on The Drive. Quick timeout. Back with more your phone calls coming up on Overreaction Monday on The Drive on Fan Run Radio. Fox Sports Knoxville, The Drive continues. Today at his weekly press conference, Jeremy Pruitt said it was the best offensive game of the season. I don't get the feeling he felt that was saying much. Said there were a couple of penalties, the fumble. Of course, you had two touchdowns nullified, the first by penalty, the second by a fumble on the goal line. That would have made it 35-0. Tennessee took the air out of the ball at the end of both halves. Could have been improved the score. Could have covered the spread for those who bet on Tennessee to cover a 31-point spread. So Jeremy Pruitt, not exactly pushing the alarm button earlier today with the media. He addressed the Fulmer stuff, and I thought he handled that as well as maybe he's handled anything with the media since he's been here.
I didn't know he'd handled. I didn't listen to the presser.
Jeremy Pruitt was asked by John Adams, Knoxville News Center, if he had about Fulmer coaching the offensive line, and Pruitt in his total just like aw shucks kind of manner said, listen, you know, of course I asked Coach Fulmer about just about everything because he's coached so much. And, yeah, he's a great offensive line coach. So he's met with the players and he talks to them and he helps us. Like, duh, we've got a Hall of Fame coach as the athletics director. Yeah, we might run a few things by him from time to time. He gave some analogy about how his papaw was a truck driver and anytime he had to go on a road trip, he would always ask him about what the best route to go was, and how, you know, that's kind of the same thing. You got Fulmer sitting there, and you have offensive line problems. Gee, I don't know. Maybe we should ask the Hall of Fame former offensive line coach right down the hall. I thought he handled that, again, as well, because people are dying to turn this into a controversy. People are just dying for some outside the lines narrative with the season because we got
it's just the majors dead enders.
But we
people
got
like Phil
no,
and
I don't.
Zeke.
Well, I think that
the haters.
We got so used to having so much nonsense with the previous regime that it was one of those things where now that there isn't that much nonsense to talk about, like people are missing it. They're starving for it. And so they're trying to create some. I thought Jeremy Pruitt just kind of, I mean, totally just dismissed that entire storyline.
It was totally stupid. That was one of the stupidest things I'd ever heard, that anybody would think he'd be meddling.
Well,
I mean, seriously, you got to be ate up with dumbass to believe that one.
I will. Now, I'm tied into this part. He also addressed the DeAndre Johnson confrontation.
That I had some concerns about.
Where DeAndre Johnson was on the field when he shouldn't have been, came off, and Pruitt lit into him on SEC Network, grabbed, kind of almost punched him in the shoulder, and then grabbed him by the helmet and screamed in his face.
He blew off a GA, I think. And Pruitt saw that.
Well, no, Pruitt today said, when I'm talking to somebody, I want them to look at me.
Yeah.
When I'm talking to somebody, I want you to look at me. That's kind of what he said.
All right.
And, like, I thought he handled that pretty well. Now, here's the thing. I'll tie this into the Fulmer situation. This is my concern about one of my concerns about Jeremy Pruitt. He's a fiery guy. He's an old school guy. I have no problem with what he did with DeAndre Johnson. I doubt very seriously that DeAndre Johnson or anybody else on the team has a problem with what Pruitt did with him. I'm sure he probably does a lot worse on the practice field every single day. But in this hypersensitive modern society, and you've already seen it on Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh, you you can't put his hands on somebody like that. That's where we are now. A football coach can't put his hands on somebody. A game that is predicated on putting your hands on somebody, but the coach can't do it because whatever. That's my concern about Jeremy Pruitt. It's like, eventually, he will go over that line. I don't think he even came close to the line.
No,
the other day.
I mean, that's basically what I'm saying. But I'm saying it is 2018. People are like that. He's got to be more aware of when he's on national TV.
Is he going to do something like that and give an opening, an excuse?
No, you don't do this.
You know, people calling for a change. You know where I'm going. I don't even have to go there. I don't even have to finish tying the loose end. You know where I'm going, right, Bear?
Yeah, and I'm not going to entertain it because, I mean, this is what you do. I don't know. This is where you make your hay, I guess.
What?
You claim that something's just asinine and completely, you know, talk about how Coach Pruitt dismissed it.
It's not asinine
at all.
And then
you turn right back around and lay out the scenario where it's going to happen.
It's not asinine.
And then people like Phil and Zeke jump on it with both hands.
I don't think I've how have I contradicted myself? I think that it's perfectly logical to think that Philip Fulmer wants to help coach the offensive line, but that isn't meddling. But it's also perfectly logical to think that this dude's a hothead. He might go overboard one day, do something he shouldn't, and provide an opening for
we're working like heck.
It's not asinine. It's kind of like,
why do you do man?
It's kind of silly. It's kind of out there. And y'all think I'm kidding, but I mean, hell, I'm only right about just about everything. I mean, it's going to – I'm not even going to talk about it now because it's premature. But when it happens – and it will happen. Not necessarily the Pruitt slugging off on somebody, but you know what will happen. I've said it since day one, and I'm not going to beat you over the head with it now because it's Florida week and we got to get on with it. It's Overreaction Monday. So that's what – Pruitt talked about earlier at his weekly coaches press conference on Rocky Top. Tennessee getting ready for Florida, 7 p.m. kickoff on ESPN. The Georgia game announced today will be a 3:30 CBS kickoff. Yay.
Yeah, at least we can get it, you know, get that over with.
I was kind of hoping that would kick off about 11 p.m., maybe on the NHL Network.
I'm probably not even going to watch it.
Or maybe just first thing in the morning, yeah, if you want to get it over with, just like 9 a.m., like sunrise, we can broadcast it on the Golf Channel or something. Minimal people see it. A minimal amount of people seeing it. That's kind of my goal with the Georgia game because, oh, boy.
Yeah, I mean, it's
– let's not even think about it. We can handle Florida. It, like I've said for a couple of weeks now, this season was never about and is not going to be about measuring ourselves against Georgia and Alabama because we're not there yet. We're not ready. We're just not. But what this season is about is measuring ourselves, in my opinion, against Florida and South Carolina. Because those are the two programs that have been a little better than – they've been a little ahead of us for the past 2 or 3 years. But we can beat them. We can beat either one of those teams. And we could also lose to – I mean, they could both stomp a mud hole in us too. But I'm not conceding anything there.
Mm-mm.
And I'm certainly not conceding anything to Kentucky and Vanderbilt. And I know that a lot of people out there are thinking we're going to get stomped by them too.
So who are you seeding ground to? I mean, who are you already decided to tuck your tail between your legs?
I mean,
for? Georgia, Alabama, South Carolina, Missouri?
Are you not paying attention at all here? No! Yes, Georgia and Alabama. This season is not about measuring ourselves against Georgia and Alabama. I just said it's about measuring ourselves against Florida and South Carolina. Those are winnable games. Those are the teams we should be measuring ourselves against. Those are the teams we have to beat first before we can move on to Alabama and Georgia because they're playing a different game than everybody else right now. It's stupid, man. Did you watch Alabama play? That's stupid. That's not college football. It's certainly not what we're doing. maybe that is college football, and I've just forgotten what it looks like because it's been so long since we've played it around here. But they are not doing the same thing we're doing, and neither is Georgia. Auburn? No, I don't know. I tend to think they're probably a lot better than us, but LSU kind of exposed them a little bit.
When do they expose them? Or is LSU's? I think LSU's a little bit better than you're willing to give Ogre credit for. It's been
noted. Well, there are two separate things happening there. Yes, LSU is pretty good. They're very talented. I'm not ready to anoint Ed Ogeron a great high level SEC football coach.
Well, no, just man. Yet. But you know, I mean, you got to understand. You got to give the man a little bit of credit, Russ.
Sure.
I mean, you give him none. Nothing but derision, and you make fun of him.
I'm not going to stop. Not going to stop making fun of him. I will give him credit. Like I didn't think he had that in him. I didn't think they'd be able to win that game. I thought there's a good chance this season could blow up in their face. I still think that they're probably going to lose a couple of games.
They'll get trucked by Alabama, and they'll lose one they shouldn't. But I think it's a 10-2 team, don't you?
They got some very fortunate calls go their way on that last drive to set up the game-winning field goal. Some questionable pass interference calls, I thought, against Auburn. Auburn, I'm sure, will tell you they left a ton of points on the board. Just self-inflicted wounds over the course of that game. But, I absolutely give LSU and Ed Ogeron credit for going in a hostile environment and picking up the big W. Absolutely. Tell you what else, man, I'm excited about. Remote Thursday at Corner 16. Oh, man. Had some Corner 16 Saturday night after voluntary reaction. Went by and picked up the order online. What do they curbside to go? Curbside pickup. Got some wings. I love the Thunder Road sauce on the wings. It's just, I mean, that's an East Tennessee institution.
It's great. Love the Thunder Road.
The Thunder Road sauce. I love them tossed in the Thunder Road sauce, and then I get the hot and spicy sauce on the side and some blue cheese, and I take turns dipping. And their hot and spicy sauce will light you up. We had that. The kids had burgers off the kids' meal that were amazing. Like I ate about half my son's cheeseburger. I did, man. It was just.
If you ever all the Smith family dinners involve you eating like half of your children's food.
Is that half the point of having kids? It's just like more food. I get to finish their desserts, finish their meals. Sometimes it's good. I finished my son's breakfast this morning. It was great. And like cinnamon raisin toast with butter. Anyway, Corner 16 will be there Thursday doing our thing live. It'll be 48 hours until Tennessee, Florida. Come on out and join us. If you haven't been to Corner 16, you're going to love this place, man. They've got a great bar, an awesome patio set up with games and stuff outside on the AstroTurf. It's crazy, man. They've got ping pong and like the giant Connect Four thing for the kids. They've got cornhole, hacky sack, all that stuff. Very, very cool spot. It is out west. It'd take Middlebrook towards Hardin Valley. Right before you get to Hardin Valley, it'll be on the corner of Middlebrook and Bob Kirby Road. The address is 1640 Bob Kirby Road. We'll be there from 3 until 6 this Thursday. Corner 16 voted best new restaurant in Knoxville by the Knoxville News Sentinel Best of Knoxville Readers Poll last year. And like I said, the food is fantastic. They've got all the legendary Smoky Mountain Brewery handcrafted beers, micro-brewed right here in Knoxville, on tap for you. Corner 16, TVs everywhere. It's going to be fantastic. Come out and see us there Thursday. Quick timeout. Your phone calls coming up. Let's load them up here. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the drive, 546-8200. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Drive. This is The Drive.
Rocky Top Report brought to you by the Kregner Group and the mortgage pro Chris Burleson. Tennessee returns to the practice field. I bet you they'll be indoors today. Can't have anybody slip, pull a hammy in Florida week, man. Tennessee opens up as a 6-point underdog to Florida. Line already down to 4.5 points. You guys feeling good about that? Is kind of.
I'm trying to maintain it like an even keel this week. I'm not going to let myself get crazy like I've had in the past.
Why? Get crazy, Bear. It's Florida.
I can't
you
imagine.
Pace yourself, man. It's
Monday. Anybody betting this game?
No telling. With these two teams?
Game I'm going to bet is that Georgia 14 at Missouri. 110 on the money line. That's an easy $100. Just in your pocket.
You think so for real?
They're gonna beat Missouri's eyes shut on their home field. It's gonna be like 62-12. 14 points? Are you kidding me? Anyway, is the Rocky Top Report. We gotta get back to Tennessee here. Tennessee, as we said last segment, 3:30 CBS kickoff for Georgia. I mean, really? We can't kick that thing off at 2 a.m. in the morning and put it on Lifetime? Good grief. I don't even want to see that game. Can we just go ahead and start voluntary reaction at 2:30 that afternoon? We'll just go right in from the tailgate to voluntary reaction. Just pretend it's not happening. What's the line for that game going to be? Regardless of what Tennessee does this weekend, even if we do win, what are we going to be at Georgia?
31-point underdog.
Oh, my God. I don't know if it would be that bad. I think it could 28. Be in the 20s, low 20s.
Yeah, Missouri's only beaten them once.
Basketball news. Jalen LeCue's visit reportedly went well. The 5-star point guard from the prep school in New Hampshire. He did say he was going to visit Texas Tech, but some intriguing stuff going on between him and the other 5-star, Josiah James. Josiah James announcing yesterday he plans to announce his college choice on Wednesday at his high school in Charleston, 10:30 a.m. His final three schools are Clemson, Duke, and Tennessee. He just made an official to Clemson this past weekend and immediately announced that he's canceling his official visit to Duke. So, I don't think anybody knows what's going on. Eight of the 10 crystal ball projections from 247. Love the crystal ball projections. So, some dude working out of his mom's basement in Des Moines, gives a crystal ball, and all of a sudden, the shockwaves reverberate across the country. Eight of the 10 crystal balls have Josiah James going to Clemson. I'm not a Barnes basher. You know this. If we lose a five-star recruit to Clemson, we just like not recruit five stars anymore. I'm serious. If he's a top 100 player, four or five-star recruits, just don't even offer him. Even if he wants to come. Like a kid calls up and says, hey, Rick Barnes, I want to come. I'm a five-star, one-and-done player. I want to come play for – no! We want a three-star. I don't – Clemson? You cancel your visit to Duke and you're going to go to Clemson? Here's – you want to play a little 3D basketball recruiting chess here?
Sure.
What if – and just follow me on this one. Hear me out here. What if the two recruitments are tied together, LeCue and James? LeCue visits Tennessee. It goes well for him by all reports. Josiah James just visits Clemson. He really enjoyed his Tennessee visit too. Maybe he wants to go to Tennessee. He's not really. He doesn't want to go to Clemson because why would you want to go to Clemson if you're a great basketball prospect? And he's just not feeling Duke for whatever reason. He really likes Tennessee. These guys know who the schools are recruiting, who else they're recruiting at their position. What if this James kid hears that the LeCue visit's going well and that he might be getting set to commit to Tennessee and he wants to beat him to the punch? Is that too optimistic? Am I?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Am I reading too much into it?
Probably just a little bit.
Well, I mean, maybe let's go a little reverse psychology. I mean, we thought we were getting Trey Mann. All the crystal balls had him going.
That's why I can have no positivity or expectations regarding this entire process.
Well, everybody thought Trey Mann was going to come to Tennessee. Now he's not.
So everybody, let's just assume we're getting neither of these kids and
hope we get
one.
I'm to the point now where tell me when they show up on campus and start practice. Until they do that, I don't care to, because we don't get those kids. For whatever reason, I've still got full faith in Barnes and the Barnes bashers. I don't understand, but.
What are they going to do if we get one of these kids? They have
probably say I told you so when he makes the Final Four. I mean, there is a nugget of truth in what they're saying.
Don't say that.
There is.
Don't say that.
If you took that kid from Villanova last year at point guard, what was his name, Brandon?
Jalen Brunson.
Jalen Brunson, and you put him on this team this year?
Well, yeah. You put a proven great player on the team, it would have gone better.
Well, I mean, he's one of those. He's that kind of guy. You're talking about like a top five point guard in the country? I mean, with what we've got coming back, that's why I'm surprised. I would have thought it would have been easier sell for Barnes to sell to like a top, not top flight, like point guard. He could take a look at what Tennessee's got and realize that if I come play here, there's, you know, if everybody stays healthy and the breaks go our way, we could easily be in the Final Four. I'm just hoping that one of the guards we have on campus is developed enough this year that we can still make the Final Four. I think we can.
I think we can, too. I'd like to get one of these players, obviously. And
I'm not going to call for Barnes to be fired if we don't.
No.
Or hold it against him. As long as the program continues to make the tournament every year. And, you know, I mean, he won the league last year. That buys him a lot of time in my book.
Like, I know where you're coming from, but like the phrase buys him a lot of time, it's like, what are we doing? We've got one of the best coaches in the country.
Yeah,
he just won the league and buys him. From what?
From the idiots.
For we're going to fire him?
Well, yeah.
I mean, it's just the entire conversation is so dumb. I mean, you talk about being ate up with dumbass. This is why we can't have nice things.
I'm just trying to find some way for the Barnes back. I mean, you know how I feel about it.
But they've actually, like...
I think he's going to retire from here probably in about 8 years.
Me too.
He'll win a lot of ball games, and he'll do it the way he wants to do it.
I just hope we don't give it to his assistant when he leaves. No offense, Rob Lanier, but...
You're not Rick Barnes.
No. That is the Rocky Top Report, brought to you by the Craigner Group, committed to delivering the highest quality real estate service possible. The Craigner Group can take some of the stress out of the process of selling your home off your plate so that you can focus on packing and searching for your next home and your dream home. The Craigner Group, get it sold so that you can move on with your life. Call today for a free consultation, 865-742-1035, or you can visit my guy, Bo Craigner, online at BoKnowsHouses.com. That's BoKnowsHouses.com. Once you find that new home, you're going to need a mortgage. That's where my guy Chris Burleson, the mortgage pro, comes in. Chris did the mortgage on the new stately Smith Manor. He'll do a great job for you as well. You can visit him online at burlesonmortgageteam.com. That's burlesonmortgageteam.com. MortgageTeam.com. Get an easier name to spell, Chris Burleson. Or call him directly at 865-388-7634. The Mortgage Pro, Chris Burleson. Appreciate him. Sponsorship of the Rocky Top Report right here on the drive. We've got to take a quick timeout right here. We will come right back with more of Overreaction Monday, presented by the Phone Exchange, live from the Fan Run Studios on a rainy Monday. It is The Drive, right here on Fox Sports Knoxville.
The Drive, Knoxville's home for sports radio in the afternoon. This is The Drive.
I think we have to be very careful of the danger of judging new coaches too prematurely. A lot of that going on right now. Both on both sides of the equation.
I'm just stunned that you're saying this to me.
Why's that?
Because I feel like off the air, we've had some conversations where, you know, there are certain coaches across college landscape that are new that you're pretty much made your decision on.
No, I feel like everybody is done with Willie Taggart. Everybody is done with Chad Morris. A lot of people are making fun of Scott Frost, Nebraska losing at home to Troy. Jeremy Pruitt kind of flies under the radar just because he's so low-key. But that'll change if we get pantsed by Florida this weekend and humiliated by Georgia on national television. Just wait. All the people on the list are waiting to crawl back out from under their rocks and cast dispersions upon Tennessee fans. Is this what y'all wanted? This is what you get. This is what you get. Like, I'm just telling you, you know I'm right. It's coming if that happens, and probably even if it doesn't. But it's the same thing with Ogeron. I mean, that funny-shaped ball bounces Auburn's way a time or two, and people are on here, probably including myself, saying, look, that's what happens when you hire a guy who barely speaks English to coach your big-time D1 college football program. By the way, just as a quick aside, might I say that, speaking of Jeremy Pruitt, I love what they have done with that coach's show. That's fantastic. Have you guys seen the Jeremy Pruitt TV show?
No. I have not.
You guys got to watch it. You got to set your DVR.
Really?
Yeah, it's just like it used to be. They play the entire game, and he sits there and just pulls no punches, just tells you exactly. He tells you what play they ran, whose fault it was, who did well, who did poorly.
Like the old days?
It's just like the old days. It's like Fulmer said, oh, here we try and run our little screen press, and dadgummit, Ray Knock. You know, it's the same thing, man. It's beautiful, man. It is absolutely fantastic. Now, he looks like about the most miserable human being I've ever seen doing that show. And I don't think it's necessarily because he doesn't like doing it or he's bad with the media. It's probably because he's been up all night watching the film, and he wants to get back in there watching film, and instead he's in there in a coat and tie, you know, talking to Bob Kessling for an hour and a half. But it's fantastic. And the other thing I like about it is Jeremy Pruitt's homespun manner. He's I learn things. And not just about football, but for instance, I learned things about the English language. For instance, I learned a new word yesterday on the Jeremy
what
Pruitt
word?
Show. Follerin.
Follerin?
Follerin.
You've never heard that before?
As in, how do you use it?
I was following that fella down the road.
That's what, I'd never heard that. He said he'd done a good job there of following his blocking right in the hole.
Russ, you need to take...
Did you not grow up in East Tennessee?
I did.
You need
I've never
to take
heard
a trip up to Granger County. You'll learn a lot of new words.
He'd done a good job of following his blockers on that play.
It's like when northern people say drawing.
Yeah.
It's just one of those words, following.
I'd never heard it. It was good. But, no, I love the Jeremy Pruitt show. I'm all in on the coach's show. Derek Dooley butchered that thing when he decided that he wanted to tape it the night of the game instead of the morning after, and they didn't have time to do full highlights, and he didn't want it. He just wasn't going to do it because he didn't feel like he had to do that. And then they – you know, even less with Butch Jones. And plus, who wants to hear Butch Jones talk for any amount of time?
He was always purple on his show.
It was weird, man. They have gone back in time, and it's fantastic, man. I'm telling you guys, you gotta DVR it. The Pruitt show's must watch. And
what channels it come on?
VLT.
Okay.
CBS affiliate.
I guess I could search for it, huh?
And so, yeah, what do I look like, TV guide over here? Come on, man.
Sorry.
It's really good, and I learned stuff about it. Like, I have no idea this RPO stuff. Can somebody explain to me the difference between an RPO and play action?
No, because there isn't any at this point. Well, but it's a newfangled term that all these TV – guys, and a lot of them are the former players. They're just like Collinsworth.
Well,
man.
It's
like I was this close to driving an ice pick into both of my ears. I can't stand listening to him.
Well, it's about.
I'm gonna turn the TV down.
It's about the eyes of the quarterback. Basically, an RPO is a play action where the quarterback has the option to throw it or to hand it off instead of throwing it. It's almost like the opposite of a play action, right? So, for instance, when I'm watching the game Saturday, I thought the touchdown pass to Juwan Smith was just, you know, that's how they drew it up. It's a little screen pass, a little swing pass out there. It was an RPO. Like he was Garantano's
–
he's got the handoff option there. But
Juwan
Smith. He's watching the defense as the play. Juwan Smith caught a touchdown. Did you watch the game?
Juwan Jennings. Juwan Smith used to play basketball.
Juwan to Chris Lofton for three. I just went full Kessling. Anyway, he's reading the defense as the ball is snapped, and instead of handing it off, he throws it to Jennings. RPO. Wish we had Juwan Smith out there. Go 15-0. Stay with us. Hour number two of The Drive coming up right here on Fox Sports Knoxville.
The Drive.